Professor Perry, thank you for joining me today. So tell me, how did you meet Stephen Hawking?
I'd just done a 1 year postgraduate degree in mathematics at Cambridge, and he just simply sent for me at the end of that and said, "Would you like to work with me on relativity?" And then he said, "Would you like to work on cosmology or black holes?" So I said, "Black holes."
It took you a long time to learn how to communicate with him, but you must have shown a promising future.
I wasn't so much a student anymore, but someone with whom I could collaborate with him. We wrote one paper during that period, and then I went off to Princeton, so I was out of his orbit for a bit.
So you spent 8 years at Princeton before coming back to Cambridge. During that time, Hawking completely lost his voice.
And then it was replaced by this computer voice that we all know and love. So then understanding him was really easy.
So the phases of your relationship went from student to collaborator
And then friend.
and then friend.
And
That's
sort of
okay.
collaborator at the same time. I don't think that all PhD students have that experience. I think most simply through the supervisor, and that's it. You've gone.
And so in during your relationship and your time working with Stephen Hawking, I mean, you kind of pointed out some of those interesting things about his personality, like his eating habits. You talk a little bit about that.
Well, his eating, he was something of a gourmet. He liked food. He was willing to go to restaurants and eat out on any opportunity. And simply, well, I mean, I think it was an excuse to have a good time. I mean, I think any opportunity was fine. And he certainly enjoyed eating with gusto. As you saw, the example was steak. So steak was for breakfast, but other things that were his favorites, things like raspberries, they were a favorite thing. Creme brulee was a favorite.
What was it like spending time with Hawking?
If you were with him, things would always happen, and you could be certain it would be fun. I mean, talking to him was a bit difficult. You'd say something, you'd have to wait for the computer for a reply to be composed on the computer and then spelt out, but that didn't really seem to be much of a problem.
So what was your favorite personal memory in working with Stephen Hawking and being his friend?
Oh, that's tricky. I don't know that there's a favorite personal memory. I think that there's a memory, was actually the last time I talked to him. So on, I guess it was March the 7th, I phoned him up and told him that this was where we had got to. And so this was a not much of a conversation. It was on speakerphone. So I described where we'd got to, and his response was yes, and I'm told by the nurse next to him that he smiled. And as far as I can tell, that's about the last thing he ever said. So it's a sort of, not, it's not really a favorite memory, but it's one that will stick in my mind forever.
He passed away shortly after that, and yeah, I remember he was all over the news, but will he be remembered after that?
In the scientific community, his work will be recognized for a very, very long time. I mean, I would imagine that in 1,000 years' time, his name will still be known.
Professor Perry, I thank you again. I really appreciate your time in sitting down and talking with me today about your experiences and the legacy of Stephen Hawking. So thank you.
Thank you.
With Utah Public Radio News, I'm Bronson Tykert.